All right. Good morning, and welcome to Lake Region Bible Church, and thanks, Naomi, and their cousin, and all the other musicians for bringing us God's word through song and praise this morning. And it's great to be in a nice, warm church. And thank you for the message from Informed Choices, a great organization, and give as you're able to give, and God will multiply whatever we're able to give and do it for His work to save lives. We thank you and praise you that you can worship with us. Yesterday I went to a seminar in Zion, training on what to do if somebody invades the church, like if an intruder walked in right now with a gun, what would you do? Most of us would hit the floor and hide, like the people in Texas. Whereas in the training, they say and encourage those people that are able to get up and start throwing things at the person that walked in. They did this with 30 police officers in a room, and a police officer who was a trained marksman, and all they said to the policeman sitting in the audience is that a marksman is going to come in, and you guys have to stop him. And they gave them each a Nerf ball, 30 Nerf balls, the little round soft ones, and to see how many people he could hit in 5 minutes. And so he came in and he started shooting with these little paintball things, and the police officers started throwing things at him, the Nerf balls. And do you know how many people he was able to hit out of 30? Zero. Because they stood up. It was like that flight where the people stood up, the plane that was headed for D.C. Because sometimes we don't have the authority to act as a group. We're so concerned about ourselves as individuals and protecting myself. But what about my neighbors or those that can't help, those that can't get up, that are on the floor? What should we do? Well, that's what the training was about. And over the next several weeks, we'll be bringing you bits and pieces of the training and what we should do. Like if the coffee pot exploded and caught on fire, there was a fire in the lobby right now, how would you get out of this building where there's an exit there and there's an exit there? And we would expect the people in the front to use this exit, people in the back to use that exit, but we've never ever talked about that happening. And during a fire, we would not use the elevator or the lift. So those are just some common things, a couple of things I wanted to share. But I wanted to share one other thing with you this morning before I start. My wife and I went to Arizona just before Christmas, and we were going out to eat. Well, we were shopping and getting some water bottles because the water is terrible out there. And I love a frozen ice bottle, you know, with water in it, and then, you know, you can start crackling it like that, you know. And my wife says, you know, that just drives me crazy when you do that. I said, what? 42 years we've been married, and this is the first time, and I love these ice bottles like this. And you guys, some of you like to pop those bubble wraps and things like that. That drives other people crazy. Well, this water, if I take a sip now and then, I'll try not to squeeze it too much to drive my wife crazy. But, you know, 42 years, you find out about these things. So as we look at Scripture today, we're going to find about how essential teamwork is in the body. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, starting with chapter 12. And verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has not so composed the body, giving a greater honor to the part that lacked it. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. So we all rejoice together. We should not be despondent, or because the worship team, and they have those beautiful voices and they can play instruments and the only thing I can play is the radio, I should not be jealous of Naomi and what you do. I should not be jealous of the bridge when Naomi and Jeff are working with the bridge people and Jeff is really athletic and he can get out there and run and they do with the best of them, and I'm 70 and over the hill, and even though I had a state track record, I can't run that fast anymore unless it's to the dinner table. So we need to think that we are part of one body. So we're going to look at this section of scripture that we've talked about and I've read to you about today. We're going to look at verse 12 first. Paul is comparing the body of Christ to a human body, that each part has a responsibility, that each one of us are part of the body of Christ within this church. The church is what our Lord and Savior died for. And we confessed our sins, trusted in the Lord, asked him to come into our heart and be our Savior, and to change us and to live for him forever. Doesn't mean we're always going to do the right thing, but it means when we do something we shouldn't do, we come and ask for forgiveness and pray to the Lord for forgiveness for him. That he sent the helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with us. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. That's how it is with Christ. And if we look at 13, verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. So we all drink of one spirit, that Holy Spirit that comes to live within us, that voice that tells us right from wrong, or should we even have to think about it? Is this going to be honorable to our Lord and Savior? And today there are so many things that can pull us aside and drive us away from giving our attention to the Lord. Young people under the age of 16 spend more time watching YouTube videos than they do watching TV. When I was growing up, we watched TVs, the old westerns and so on and so forth. Nothing's wrong with that unless you're watching too much of it or inappropriate things on it. So we have to be careful of what we do. So the church is compared to many types of people from a variety of backgrounds with a multitude of gifts and ability. It is easy to see these differences as a way to divide people, as was the case in Corinth. That this church could easily be divided because we could say that when Satan fell from heaven, that he fell on the musical pit in a lot of churches. And there's division as to what song. You know, we should sing more hymn or we should sing more current, or we should have a combination. And so you get that argument between music teams. And what type of preaching should we have? Should we be looking at the word verse by verse, or should we do a topical sermon, or so on and so forth? So there's all kinds of things that can divide us. And Jeff, with his great sport talent, it's great, but maybe it's not as good as his brother John, who's coaching basketball, you know, and doing all these things. So, you know, should we compare the two? And if you do, then you might get jealous because of the things you can't do or can do. Or, you know, we talk about these things, and we talk about things like a young person in here, I won't mention his name, but, you know, he's out in Rochester somewhere. Well, he's here today, actually, and he works on this program with lasers and stuff. I don't even know what it's called. It's so complicated, I can't understand it. But, you know, he's got skills that I don't have, you know, because when we were growing up, it was paper and pencil, and we didn't have computers or whiteboards or all those things that they have in schools. But we learned that we're all baptized into that one body. Jews are Greek, slaves are free, and all were made to drink of the one spirit. And Pastor spoke of Dr. Martin Luther King in his I Have a Dream. He didn't mention it, but his I Have a Dream speech, that one day at one time we'd all be able to sit down together, that we would not be judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character and what type of character we are. And I just throw a safety feature in here right now. And we had a great New Year's Eve party here. A great New Year's Eve party. But do you know that during that New Year's Eve party, there were three young individuals, I won't mention any names, Amy, Javon, and Brianna, my niece, great niece, that snuck out and ran around in the snow outside where the adults inside were having a good time. They could have been captured or kidnapped or whatever, and we would have been right on playing our card games and drinking our sparkling cider and having a great time. So we need to know where our children are, and we need to keep an eye on them, and we need to tell them if they're going to be going outside or leaving or going somewhere, they need to let an adult know, because I didn't know Brianna was out in the snow. You guys catch pneumonia, how cold it was New Year's Eve. So that type of thing. If we look at 14 through 24, I'm just going to try to give you a highlight here. Using the analogy of the body, Paul emphasizes the importance of each church member. If a seemingly insignificant part is taken away, the whole body becomes less effective. So, you know, on those cold mornings when you don't want to get up and come to church and you say, they won't miss me, and so on and so forth. And I say, yes, I'll miss. If Henry's not here, I miss him every time he's not here. I miss him because Henry was my savior when I had a flat tire. I told you this story before, but I'll mention it shortly here. Driving my son-in-law and daughter-in-law's big van, big Honda Odyssey, and had a flat tire and trying to find the tire and couldn't find it anywhere. And Henry is going the opposite direction, turns around, comes back. And I thought he was calling a dealership, but he was on YouTube and asking, where's the spare and how you change it? Well, it's behind the passenger, behind the driver and the passenger seat, and in front of that middle seat. And the police officer had looked for the spare. I had looked for the spare. We couldn't find it anywhere. We thought it would be behind the middle seat and in front of the last seat, but we were wrong. But Henry had word-by-word instruction that was given to him. I thought he called a dealership. He said, no, YouTube, I got it. And I said, well, then let me change. Oh, no, I'll do it. And there he changed the whole spare tire and put the old one back in the back and stuff and so on and so forth. And the police officer, she had brand new nails that had just been done. And Henry did it all. And so praise God and thank that Henry was there at the right time doing the right thing. And helping one another, a weaker brother, because I certainly would not have been able to do that. And then got ready to drive off, and my told my niece I'm coming. She goes, did you put the emergency brakes on? I go, yeah. She goes, oh, no, because we don't put on the emergency brakes because they get stuck, and then they sort of burn. So, oh, thanks a lot. Now you tell me after we changed the spare. So I drove the car back home and had a dealership pick it up. So if just one part, one person is missing, and you think you're not important, you are very important here in greeting one another, and Helen and what she does every Sunday and bringing fruit, and we give thanks to Helen for doing that. So everyone is important. Every part of the body is important. And just imagine if the whole body wasn't here, you could hear everything, but you couldn't smell. Now, in some cases, that might be good. In other cases, not so good. So teaching that your gift is more important than someone else's is an expression of spiritual pride. And those were the two things we talked about earlier. Think one is being too proud of your ability, and the second one thinking that they have nothing to give to the body of believers. Those are two faults. One thinking, well, I'm proud because I can get up and preach, but I can't sing, I can't play the piano. I can usher in the back and pass out bulletins. You know, I can go to workshops, but I can't run like Jeff or John or Joe. I can't change a tire like Henry. I can't deal with all that fruit. Scott that makes the coffee every Sunday for us and fills in when I'm out of town picking up stuff. All those things, we're all part of one body. And we all work together. And we need all of us. And Georgia, who's always encouraging us and telling us, and you know, as she's driving with my one of my good friends, her son, I call him Cool Hand Luke after that movie with Paul Newman where he ate all those eggs, but someday I'm going to get that movie for Luke. Or for Michael, who, you know, is teaching a class and training us and giving us words in Greek that we've never heard of before and telling us the meaning of them and increasing our knowledge and skills of knowing what the Lord is and what he wants to do for it, for us. And that we should not be jealous of those others who have these great gifts. We should use the gift that we have, and we should honor those that are honored by others. You know, when Pastor Appreciation in this church gave me that great gift, I wanted to cry. I wanted to say, oh, can I take everybody out for lunch today? Because you guys, this church is so wonderful, so kind, and so loving. And because it was so wonderful and so kind, so loving, we have to say, are we safe from an intruder that might walk through that door? Who's back there? Usually it's myself and Tom that are back there, and so we'd be the first people to deal with those individuals that come. And if someone looks different or something sounds different, please say something to somebody and don't be embarrassed that you're going to hurt somebody's feelings or something. Better to say something than not say something, you know. It's the middle of winter and middle of summer and the guy comes in with a big overcoat on. You ought to say something that ought to alarm someone. And so we all should always be aware of that and what it means. And we should give encouragement to one another. If we don't, the body of believers will be less effective. We need to encourage people. We need to lift them up. Mr. Velo walks around the church during the flood this summer. I came over to the house to find him because our basement had flooded and water was up to chest high. And I was calling for him in the basement and didn't find him. And then I really got worried and I thought, well, maybe he went home and went to his house. And then he wasn't there at his house. And his daughter said, well, I think he's over at the church. And I said, no, he's not at the church. Found out not only was he working on the house, but he was also helping the dentist whose basement area had flooded and helping him redirect water and so on and so forth. So doing those things that he could do. So there's so many of us that do so many things. And so we appreciate that. And some of us are grandparents, and we know the joy of being that. And when you see Kevin hugging Jason or Jason giving Kevin a kiss, and you know that it's great to have children because someday some of them will give you grandchildren. And grandchildren are great because you can take them and you can spoil them, then you can send them back home again. And that's great. We have twin daughters that live in Georgia. And, of course, that great football game for the number one ranking between Georgia and Alabama. And even though they live in Georgia, my son-in-law is an Alabama fan. I'm an Alabama fan. So he had taught the three-year-old girls to say, "Roll Tide, roll, beat them dogs." So when we call, that's what they said. "So what about the football game?" And they go, "Beat them dogs." That's all they said. But how great it was that the freshman quarterback for Alabama gave the glory to God after that game. He said, "It was not what I did. It was what the players around me did, and the glory all goes to God." So it's not what we do. It's not our jobs that we do around the church, whether it's cleaning up, preaching, sweeping, doing whatever. The glory goes to our Heavenly Father because He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And so I want to tell you a couple more things, and then I want to tell you about a family. So what is your response to following Christians that have different abilities, different gifts, different skills? How do you respond when someone is suffering? Are you calling and trying to pep that person up? Do you rejoice with those who rejoice? Do you weep with those who weep? And we know that from Romans 12:15, we won't look that up, but we're called to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Too often, unfortunately, we are jealous of those who have made great accomplishment, and we're apathetic toward those who weep. Believers are in the world together. There's no such thing as private or individual Christianity. We wouldn't stop with enjoying only our own relationship with God. We need to get involved with the lives of others. So are you involved with the lives of others? I know Jeff has taken people under his wing and taken them to his house to play video games and stuff like that, to be sort of like a mentor or just someone that someone can talk to. So those are the types of things. Now, I didn't give you a handout because I'm a teacher and I'm past teacher and a school administrator, so I don't like to waste paper. And you know, after Sunday, I go around and pick up the outline that pastors so diligently put timeless effort into making, and I see one on the floor, and I think, "Oh my goodness, who left this on the floor?" And I get sort of upset that pastors spent all this time, and then people don't take them, and they don't, you know. And so I'm thinking, well, how are they going to remember? And I usually grab up a couple of them and take them and stick them in my bag or stick them in the door of my car, because I always be ready to give a word to defend and to tell the gospel of why you believe in the good news. Why do you believe Christ died on the cross for your sins? Long before you ever knew Him, He knew you. He knew the number. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows how long we're expected to give. Psalm 90:10, He says 70 years and 10 for most of us, some more, some less. My mother-in-law is 97. In the cold weather, she likes to go out to eat. So when we went to visit her down in Morton, Illinois, we took her out to eat. Her favorite place to eat is a Cracker Barrel. She would go there every day if she could go there. My wife gets tired of the Cracker Barrel, and so we used to say, "Mom, would you like to go out to eat?" And she goes, "Yeah, well, where would you like to go?" "Oh, I don't care, anywhere you guys would like to go. I guess the Cracker Barrel would be okay." Oh, my goodness. And then on Christmas Day, she had gone to Cracker Barrel, and they had a three-hour wait to get seated. And I'm thinking, oh, I wouldn't wait 3 hours anywhere to get seated. I'd be going to McDonald's or someplace. So, you know, think of working as a team and being patient and being kind and being long-suffering and helping others. What is it that you can do? Well, I want to talk to you about that. I want to tell you a story. Now, there was a family called the Tate family, and I think they moved away to North Carolina or someplace, and some people went out to visit. But this is a different Tate family, so I don't want anyone to get confused with them. But I want you to remember one of these 12 Tates. Because there are 12 Tates in this individual family. You know, teamwork is essential in business and industry. John can tell you that in basketball, teamwork is essential. He draws up plays, and if the players don't execute them properly, then he's not going to be successful. And when they're not successful, who do they blame? They blame the coach, not that the players didn't do what the coach told them to do. So he has to take all the heat. You've heard of this Some of you probably heard of this corny tale before. It's sort of corny, but I love it, so I'll share it with you. It's about the Tate family. They were a very persuasive family, and you can find the Tate family in every organization. And there's 12 of them. The first one is Dick Tate. You know Dick Tate, who wants to run everything and be in charge of everything and tell everybody where to go. And if you don't know where to go, Dick Tate will tell you where to go and what your job is. So that's the first member of this Tate family. And then there's also a second member, Rotate. Rotate tries to change everything. You know, we shouldn't have this seating like this. We should just have two sides like we sometimes had before, you know. Or maybe we should split this and have four. Instead of three sections, we should have four sections. We could have a section there, a section here, a section here, a section there. So Rotate likes to change things, even though everything might be working smoothly. Like when we come to take communion, everyone knows in this church that everybody, even the people sitting here, walk to the back and they all come up this aisle to get the communion, and then they walk back down this aisle. Otherwise, there'd be mass confusion with people running into each other. But Rotate would have us do something else then. But we don't want to do that. And then the third one is Agitate. Now, Agitate tends to stir up trouble wherever possible. And Imitate always lends Agitate a hand in stirring up trouble. Agitate, stirring up trouble. Well, you know about Margie Palmer. She was driving the former pastor's wife back to the airport yesterday. And, you know, I think she was over the speed limit in some places, you know. But I'm not going to say anything because I'm just telling you what Agitate said. I'm just Imitate. I'm just here to lend a helping hand. And whenever new ideas are suggested, or recommend it. Then there's number five, Hesitate. Well, wait a minute. Let me think about that. You know, you want to divide the church up into different sections? I don't know. Let me think about that for a little bit. So Hesitate, and then there's also Vegetate, the close cousin, relative. So Hesitate and Vegetate, they sort of, well, let us think about it, you know, and if you come up with a good idea, that won't work when they always throw cold water on every idea that comes up, because we tried that before back in 1994, so we shouldn't do that again. So we've got Hesitate 5 and Vegetate 6, and then the one I like the best is Imitate 7. Imitate tries to mimic everyone. Well, you know what they're doing at the Torch Church. They do this. And so that's what we should be doing here. Because they've got a big parking lot and it's paved. But, well, we've got a paved parking lot too now. Oh, wait, I can't be too proud. Remember, it tells us not to be proud. But for 70-some years we had gravel. And now we have a blacktop and it's wonderful. So Imitate tries to mimic everyone. And then there's Devastate, number 8. Devastate loves to be disruptive. Just whatever he can do to upset the apple cart, to turn things over, that's Devastate, being disruptive. And, of course, number 9 is Potentate. Potent wants to be the big shot. He wants to be the one to make the calls, make the decisions. You know, when something happens, an emergency, and we have a shooter come in here, everybody should not call 911. You should have one or two people that are designated people to call 911. Because if something happened and somebody came into this church right now, and we had Tom, myself, Marcus, and the elders all as a designated people, so you'd have four or five people designated to call 911. So the rest of you wouldn't have to call 911, because you know in this church, it's up to the elders and the people sitting in the back there to call 911. Otherwise, 911 gets flooded with all these phone calls, and everybody's talking, and then people have their phones on silent or vibrate, and then the shooter hears that, and then can find those people that are hiding. So maybe during church service you want to just turn your phone off completely, like I did today and stuck it in my thing back there. I usually keep it in my pocket on silent and vibrate, but after workshop yesterday, it's like, oh, you know, really the pastor would probably appreciate your phones being off rather than on vibrate, you know. And so after imitate tries to mimic everyone and devastate, loves to be disruptive, and potentate thinks he wants to be the big shot, we come to those people that really help us out. And these are the people that make the difference. It's facilitate, cogitate, and meditate, who always save the day and get everyone pulling together. Facilitate. How can we facilitate? How can we make this work? You know, at a congregation meeting, we should be thinking about facilitating, not irritating or agitating. We should be thinking about cogitate. What cognitive things can we do to make things better? And meditate. We should be meditating on the Lord's word at all time to make it sound for us so we can follow him. And let everyone pull together. A one-man show doesn't get very far, but nowhere in this truth is brought to higher and more powerful fulfillment than in the body of Christ. The scripture teaches us that by God's design, all who are in Christ have been made dependent on one another. We may think we can go it on our own, but we can't. We can't fulfill our high calling as members of the body of Christ until we begin to realize that we all have a vital part to play. We here are all a family. We work together. The people at the bridge. We have the Boy Scout group that meets here on Tuesday. We have the Hispanic church that meets in the afternoon and then meets during the week and then practice music on Saturday. So we work together. So Lord, help us to overcome our stubborn pride and teach us to be cooperative, to cooperate. That's what we want to do. We want to be known as a cooperative person. Oh, yeah, I can go talk to Clarence because he will cooperate. He won't agitate. He won't dominate. He won't irritate. He won't try to imitate. We're working together to cooperate, to help this church grow. And we got a report from the pastor last Sunday how we ended up with $6,000 more than what we started the year with last year. After getting a new parking lot, new furnace, new air conditioner for the house, new furnace for here, we did all those things. And all those things were possible because we were not like the Tate family. We were one in Christ. We all are different parts of the body, but the body needs every part to be successful and needs every one of you to help us be successful here. We need you, we love you, and we want you, and we appreciate your service and what you do for us. So let's love one another and give respect to one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can see in your word that we are all part of the body, and we each have a responsibility, whether we're the eyes or the ears or the feet or the nose, whatever that responsibility might be. But it is all is to give you the honor and the glory of it all, not for ourselves, not for us to be proud, not for us to look up, but for us to cooperate with one another and give you the glory and the honor that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.